This is the Soulful Beyond podcast with Janet Murray, episode 220.
Welcome to the Soulful PR podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can create and launch a planner or journal for your industry. But before we get to the main part of the show, just a reminder about my planner. So mine is the 2018 Media Diary. So it's an A4 desk diary that's full of key dates and awareness days that you can use to map out your content for the coming year. So for your blog or vlog, if you have one, for your email marketing, for your social media, and also any press that you'd like to do. And if you feel like you need accountability and support to actually get that content created, then you can also join my Media Diary Owners Club. So if you join the club, you'll also get 4 quarterly group coaching calls. You'll get access to a private Facebook group. You'll get learning resources to go along with your diary to help you make the most of it. You'll get additional printables, and you'll also get some other goodies along the way during the year. So if that sounds of interest, then do have a look at the link. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And if you've got any questions, then drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing 5 things that you need to think about if you'd like to launch your own journal or planner, either for 2019 or perhaps you want to launch something in the autumn to fit in with the academic year. But before I get started with the tips, I just wanted to give you a bit of background to this episode. So if you're a regular listener to the show, then you probably know that I have my own journal or planner. It's the 2018 Media Diary, and it's an A4 desk diary that's full of awareness days and key dates that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. So for your blog or vlog, if you have one, for your email marketing, for your social media, and also any press. So if you're interested in being featured in newspapers, magazines, radio, and TV, then the diary can help you with that. So it's the second year that I've had the diary. And what I noticed as I was promoting it in my Facebook group, the Soulful PR Facebook community, is that people were starting to ask me questions about how I launched and made the diary. And one day somebody said to me, are you going to be doing a course on this? And to be quite frank, I hadn't even considered the possibility that I might launch a course on how to create your own planner or diary. But actually, as we got into that conversation, I thought, well, maybe this is something I can help with. And if people are asking me to do it, then maybe I should do it. So as a result of that, it looks like I will be launching an online course in June this year on how to create a planner or a journal for 2019. And I'm going to add a link to that in the show notes. So if you want to pre-register, so you're first to hear about when that course goes on sale, then you can give us your email address now and we can keep in touch with you and let you know as soon as it's available. But as I was thinking about that, I started to think to myself, well, although I think that's probably the right time to start working on a diary or planner, I think if you're really serious about doing it, you do actually need to start thinking about it now, which is why I wanted to create this podcast episode so that you can start doing some of the things that you really need to do if you want to make your diary or your planner a success. Okay. So I'm going to run through 5 things now that I think you really need to think about if you want to launch your own planner, journal, diary, whatever you want to call it. So the first thing is that you need to build an audience, because if you don't have an audience, if you don't already have a group of people who already know you and like you and trust you, who are you going to sell your diary and planner to? And just to put this into context, so as I've been promoting my own diary over the last few months, I've had lots of questions about it. Most of those questions center around, where did you get it printed? Who designed it for you? How did you make sure that you made the diaries, but you didn't lose any money? So they're the kind of things that people generally ask. What people don't ask is, how do you actually find people to sell your diary to? And I think that is the most important question to ask. And that's the one that you should be thinking about well before you even think about printing a diary, before finding somebody to lay it out for you. You really need to be thinking about who you're going to sell it to. I'm going to share some sobering statistics with you. Now, these are not intended to put you off the idea of creating your own planner or journal. But what I want to do is to make sure that you're really clear on what's involved. If you want to make this a success, then this is what you need to be thinking about. And this is what you need to be thinking about now. Otherwise, you could create this diary, you could create this journal, planner, whatever it is you're going to create, but you probably won't be able to sell very many of them. So this sobering statistic is this. So if you're selling products and services online, then the conversion rate is usually around 1% to 2%. So that means that if you have an email list with 100 people on it, then you're probably going to sell one or two people will buy your diary or planner from that list. Now, obviously, there are always exceptions, and it may well be that you have a very engaged audience and email list, but that's generally, even for people who are really, really big in the industry, that's generally the conversion rate or thereabouts. And just to put it into context for you further, so I've been looking at my media diary sales over the last few days, and we're currently converting at about 5%. So that's good. You know, we're converting over the industry standard. And we're now going into the last week or so that you can order my diary before Christmas. I've got some lovely packages in my shop where you can buy the diary with a planner, you can buy it with my books, different sort of packages, which are really nice for gifts. So I would expect to see us make more sales in the next week or so. I also know from last year that we'll sell loads more in January. So once people have got Christmas and New Year out the way and they're getting serious about getting organized in 2018, I should say, then we will probably sell more in January. So I'm thinking that we might end up converting at about 7%. But remember that I've been doing business online. I've been blogging for about 4 years. I've had a podcast now for 2 years. I've got a Facebook community that's got 11,500 people in it. I've got 25,000 followers on Twitter. I've got a more modest following on Instagram, about 4,000 on Instagram. And I've got about 5,000, I think, on my Facebook page. So more modest there. But even so, I'm only converting at between 5%, and I'm expecting to convert at about 7%. So I can't stress to you how important this is. This is not meant to put you off and think, oh no, I'm never going to be able to sell any diaries or planners. But it's to really want you to think about, okay, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to put all of this work in to create this diary or planner, I need to put the work in now to build the audience of people who are going to buy it and get them warmed up and get them excited about it, like well before I even put it on sale. Because if Janet is only converting at that level and she's been building her community online for about 4 or 5 years, then I'm probably going to need to work even harder if I want to do that. That is the reality. Now, you always do come across people who have a small but very engaged email list. And if that happens to you, that's absolutely brilliant. But I think it's much better for you to work from that industry standard, just thinking, okay, well, the industry standard is about 1% to 2%. If I do any better, then brilliant, because then you won't make any costly mistakes where you end up spending out on printing, on design, and you can't sell it. You know, nobody wants, I don't want you to be sitting here this time next year with a pile of boxes in your office because you haven't been able to sell any of your diaries and planners, and I don't want you to lose any money. Okay, so this is why I really want you to work on this now. So the key way to really build this audience is you need to build your email list. So if you're really serious about publishing, creating your own planner, journal, diary, and getting it out there in 2019, or maybe even something for the 2018 academic year, you need to be totally focused on building your email list, because the money is in the list. Now, you may well think, well, why can't I just use social media? But the stats don't lie. So I'm very active on social media, but I also have an email list and I do lots of email marketing. I tend to think of my social media almost as a way of reminding people. So we do make some sales and we track them. We do make some sales from Instagram, from Twitter, from my Facebook community, from my Facebook page, but we make loads more sales. I mean, like tens of percent more sales from email marketing. And I tend to see the social media as it's just a constant reminder of people. You're constantly reminding people. And then when they get that email, they're like, oh yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that on Instagram. I've seen that in her Facebook community. I've seen that on her Facebook page. Yep, I'm now going to buy. But if you miss out the email piece, then you're probably going to find that your sales are going to be very weedy indeed. So a couple of podcast episodes I would really suggest that you listen to now before you even think about starting your diary or journal planning. I know that's the kind of fun bit, but basically you want to be able to sell this. So episode 216, how to get started with email marketing. And that's suitable for you if you're a complete beginner, but it's also suitable if you've got a small list and you're looking to expand it. Also, episode 76, so 5 strategies to grow your email list. I'd also think in the more general sense about how you can build your community. So what you need to do really is to build raving fans. You may have heard this saying going around about how you just need your first 1,000 raving fans. And I think there is a lot of truth in that, but there's a lot of work to be done to build that, you know, those 1,000 people who know, like, and trust you and like your products and services. So a couple of podcast episodes I'd suggest you have a listen to on that. So we've got 197, how to build a thriving online community with Emily Quinton of Make Light. and also episode 195 with live stream Katia. And although this episode is focused on video, Katia really talks in this episode about how to build raving fans, how to build your first 1,000 followers who love what you do. Because if you've got that core of people who love what you do, they love your products and services, they know, they like, they trust you, then when you come to put your planner or your journal on sale, they'll already know about it because you've been talking about it through the year. You've been sharing things with them. You've been getting them involved in the process, and they're much more likely to buy because they feel part of it. Okay, so that's the most important thing I want to say. So if you're serious about launching a planner or a journal in 2019, you must focus on building your audience, and you must start doing that right now. And email is going to be the key for you. So my second tip is, if you want to launch your own diary or journal in 2019, is to look at some other planners and diaries. So I would put aside a little bit of budget to buy a few that you like the look of and have a look at them, and actually buy them physically, hold them in your hands, look at them, look at how they're organized, look at what kind of content they've put together. They may well be for a completely different industry to your own. One word of caution though is, don't copy. It can be so tempting if you see somebody doing something really well, just to think, oh, I'll do it like that as well. But I think that it's not a good move. I think the more authentic you can be, the more original you can be, then the more your audience are going to warm to what it is that you've got to offer. I've seen a couple of things this year which are similar to my media diary, to the point where there's one which has similar fonts, similar colours. People have actually emailed me to say, oh, this is really like your diary and this is really like your brand, and it's just not cool. So I think it can sometimes almost happen without you realising it when you're looking at other people's products and services. But just be careful about copying. Have a look at what other people are doing. Order some diaries and journals, hold them in your hands, have a look at them, see what you like, see what you think you would do differently if it was you. But just be careful about copying, because it's so easy for that to happen almost without you realizing that you're doing it. So my third tip would be to make something that your audience actually wants, not what you want to make. So with a diary, journal or planner, we all have our ways that we like to organize things. And it can be quite tempting, I think, to just make that. So to make your ideal journal or planner without actually talking to your audience about what they want. It's a tricky one, really, because I think often when you do end up creating a journal or planner, it often comes out of a problem that you've had yourself. So even in the case of my media diary, that really came out of my frustration, I guess, as a content creator, in having to come up with ideas and having to plan ahead. So I kind of thought to myself, what did I do as a journalist? So I spent, for those of you who listen to the show regularly will know that I spent 17 years writing and editing for national newspapers. And as a journalist, it's a very, very diary-based job. Everything that you do is dictated by kind of what's on your diary. So key events that are coming up. And as a journalist, you have what we call on and off diary events. But on diary events would be things that are coming up, key industry events, key awareness days, possibly key launches, key conferences. So you'd be working very much for diary. And actually, that's what I've pretty much done, is taken that principle. So taken the way that I worked as a journalist and applied that to how I now work as a content creator, and just having those prompts, like having those awareness days, those key dates, just sitting down and mapping out what are people going to be talking about on particular days, when's Wimbledon, when's London Fashion Week, when are those kind of key dates, those things that are going to be talked about in the press, everybody's going to be talking about them anyway, and how can I actually kind of use that in my content to create more engaging, more interesting content. So yeah, you'll probably find that your diary or your planner is often inspired by a challenge that you've had in your own business, but I think it's really, really important that you then get your audience involved and you ask them what they want. And you don't just go ahead and start to create the thing that you would like, because there might actually be a discrepancy between the two. And actually, to give you an example, it's not planner or diary based, but with this online course. So when I started to see people asking me if I would create a course on how to create a diary or a journal, then what I did is I put a post in my Facebook community and I said, okay, so I'm thinking about doing this course. What month would you like it? And I gave people some options. And that's where I've come up with June for my launch date. But I went back to each person who posted in the group to say what their date preference would be for this online course. and then said, okay, what would you like to see in this course? And I've taken every single response and I've put it into a spreadsheet. And I actually used that spreadsheet, in fact, to plan the content for this episode as well. So some people said things like, I want to know where to get it printed. I want to know how to find a designer. Some people said, I want to help with the marketing. Some people said, I want to know about the timing, like how far I need to work ahead, all of that kind of stuff. So I've taken all of that and I've put it on a spreadsheet. So I think you need to do the same. So if you've got an idea for a diary, a journal, a planner, then this is why you need the audience, because people often say to me, well, okay, Janet, I get what you're saying when you say I should talk to my prospective customers about what I should create, but I don't have any prospective customers yet. So this is why I'm suggesting that you start to build up your audience now. So you start to actually try and attract people into your community who you think would be interested in buying your diary or your journal. And you actually start having conversations with them now, like in the next few months, about you've got this idea, this is how you would see it working, what do people think? And people will tell you exactly what you want. It's so interesting looking at this spreadsheet of comments that people have made about this online course and how to create a diary or journal. And I'm actually starting to see the modules that I need to create in that course. It's absolutely magical when you do it. So this is why it's so important. Obviously, I've got a Facebook group of people I can ask, but I'm also going to be asking about it on social media, with different networks. I may also email my list and ask people on my list what they think about it. So again, this is so important that you're building this community around you, people you can ask, you can have conversations with, and your audience will tell you what they want in their journal or planner. I think it's a dangerous thing to go off and create the thing that you think they want. Just ask them and they will totally tell you. But of course, you need those people to ask. One other tip that I would give you from experience is don't ask people what they would be willing to pay for your journal or planner. So I'm going to repeat that again because it's really important. Don't ask people what they would be willing to pay. Instead, what you need to do is once you've got an idea of the kind of thing that you want to create, I would just go to three printers, three designers, and get a price. So say you've decided that your diary, mine's 168 pages. So it's A4, it's 168 pages. And I would go to three printers and I'd say, what would you charge me to print 200 copies of this or 100 copies, whatever it might be? And then I'll go to a designer and say, look, this is the brief. This is what I'm thinking of creating. I'll go to three designers and I would get some prices. And from there, you'll be able to get an idea of a kind of range of how much it's going to cost you per diary, per journal to print and create. You might also want to factor in a little bit for your time for email marketing. You may need to get some help with your email marketing. Maybe you might want to spend a little bit on Facebook ads. So what I would be looking to do is just to get a kind of ballpark figure as to how much each diary is going to cost you to create. Now, for my own diary, and this is based on how many we're getting printed at a time, we're currently ranging between about 11 and 12 pounds per copy. And that includes the design costs initially, and it also includes the printing, and it also includes the distribution as well. But there are actually quite a lot of costs that are quite difficult to factor in. So I've got team members who have been working on it in different ways, and it's kind of difficult to quantify exactly how many hours that they're spending on it. But I'm roughly working on about £12 just to produce per copy. And then obviously you've got things like Facebook advertising on top, which I'm using. You don't have to do that. But I think it's important that you start off with a kind of production cost and you've got in mind. Now, it may well be depending on what you want to print. We're looking at going hardback next year, which is going to put the printing price up, which just means we're going to have to charge more. But I think it's really important that you start to explore this kind of thing, because I offered a pre-order price for my diary for people who ordered, and we gave them a choice of cover as well. And we let people have that for £24 so that you can see that the margin is actually quite tight on that. And, you know, there were good reasons why we did that. But I think if you go out there and say to people, how much do you want to pay for my planner or my journal? Then they'll just basically tell you as little as possible. And you need to make sure that you start with, okay, this is how much I think it's roughly going to cost me to create. So this is how much I can afford to sell it at. So this is the profit that I want to make on each one. And I think it's important to think strategically about it. With my media diary, I see it as well as being a source of income, but it's not a massive source of income for me compared to some of my other streams of income. I see it as a list building exercise, as a brand building exercise. So you need to think about what profit do you want or need to make from each diary and how many do you need to sell to make it worth your while. If I really think about it, honestly, I suspect I'm probably not making anything at all if I think about the work that goes into it. But it's working for me and my business on so many different levels. But I think it's really, really important that you start with How much is it going to cost you to create each one? What profit do you want to make? And you set your prices from there. Okay, it's no good you going and putting it out there for £10 if you're going to make a loss, or you're going to feel resentful about the fact that you're going to make hardly anything out of it. You need to be paid what you're worth. And so that's why I think it's really, really important that you don't say to people, how much would you be willing to pay? You start with what profit you want to make on each diary and really what your intentions are. Because as I've just shared there, you know, it may well be that in my case, for me, it isn't about a big profit-making exercise. There's lots of other reasons why I do it. But for you, it might actually be, you know, a big source of your income. And just to add as well, I've added for my second year, we've now got the Media Diary Owners Club, a club which provides additional support in actually not just planning out the content, but actually making sure that you publish it. So this year, I've been able to create a new income stream on top of the diary. So there's lots of potential for you to do those things in the future. But I think it's just so, so important that you start with what is it that you want to get out of it? And then you can plan from there. But when you start saying to people how much you're willing to pay, they will say basically as little as possible. So not a good question to ask. Okay, so my next step would be to test out your idea. Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that I always, or should I say, put this another way, I never make anything without testing people actually want it first. So both years running with my media diary, I haven't made the diary. So if you pre-ordered my diary for £24 plus VAT, then the diary didn't exist. So what we did is we created a landing page. I got my designer to create the four different covers. And this year we gave you a choice. If you pre-ordered for your cover, we had four really nice, attractive covers. And we were able to make a bit of that in the marketing as well. It got people a bit excited and talking about their covers and sharing their covers. But when that landing page actually went out, the diary did not exist at all. And that's really, really important, because if I'd put that out there and we hadn't had enough orders for me to justify making it, the printing costs, you know, I'll be really frank with you, I've been paying invoices, £7,000-£8,000, you know, huge, big printing invoices recently. I've got another one I've got to pay in the next few days. And, you know, there's no way that I was going to risk that kind of loss if people didn't want the diary. So simple landing page, simple picture of what it would look like. I was able to get my designer to mock up what it would look like inside. Take pre-orders, make sure you've got enough pre-orders to cover your costs in a way that you're happy with. So in my case, initially, as long as I get enough to cover my production costs, I'm quite happy to go ahead with it with you. You may well also want to factor in some profit as well, but don't make it before you've tested that people actually want it. People will tell you, it's the same with this course on how to create your own planner or diary. I've now got a spreadsheet of about, I think it's about 60 people who've said, if you put this course out there, then I will definitely do it. I know from experience that people saying that they want to do it and actually doing it is quite a different thing, can be quite a different thing. So when it comes to that course, I'll do exactly the same thing. I'll put out a simple landing page. I'll basically see if people buy. If they don't buy, I'll refund the people who paid, no problem at all. But that's basically how I work it with the diary. So make a simple landing page, put some pictures on there, and then see if you get enough orders to go ahead. Both years, thankfully, you've got enough orders to go ahead and it's been absolutely brilliant. But I would definitely not advise making anything until you're absolutely sure that people are going to buy it, because you don't want to lose money. And this is the beauty of it as well, you know, that you can put it out there. And what's the worst thing that can happen? You just go back to people and say, I'm really sorry, but we didn't get enough orders. And then you can find out what it was that went wrong. Maybe it was something about your sales page. Maybe your idea was all wrong, but at least you haven't wasted any money. The only thing, or very little money, the only thing that you've wasted is time. So that's another thing I really want to leave you with is please, please, please don't make your diary or journal or planner, whatever it is, up front. There's no need for you to do this. Create a simple landing page. And by a landing page, I mean a web page that you create where you give people one single action, and you can use resources. You can either do this on your website, or you can use resources like Lead Pages, or I think Thrive have landing pages as well. There's all sorts of landing page software that you can use. Drag and drop, where you can create a really simple landing page in seconds and put a PayPal button on it or put a Stripe button on it. Actually, it's only when you get people to give you money that you really know whether they want to buy it or not. I would suggest doing similar to me, particularly if it's your first time, offering a pre-order price. So set it at a price that gives people an incentive to buy early, to make a decision early. And if it's a great idea and you've got it right, you will get orders and you'll get enough orders to go ahead and make it. So at this stage, so if you get to that stage where this is my tip number five, really, you get to that stage where you've had enough orders and you feel confident to go ahead, then this is, of course, when you go back to your printers, you go back to your designers, or you may even want to go out and look for new ones, and you actually get them to make it for you. It's that simple. One question I've been asked loads and loads about my diary is, where did you get it printed? And it's really that simple. You know, as far as I'm concerned, a good designer will be able to create you anything that you want. So any design that you want, a great designer will be able to create that for you. Then you need to obviously find a printer to print it. Most printers, I mean, I've just used a local printer this time by hand to print my diary. Most printers can print anything that you want. The only thing that you need to check is if you're looking to use a particularly unusual material, like for mine, for example, they said they would only go up to a certain thickness on the cover. So I think we'll have to use somebody different next year if we're going for hardback. But if you're using unusual materials or you want it bound in an unusual way, but other than that, they can make you pretty much whatever you want. So it's just a case of you just ringing some printers saying, look, this is what I've got in mind. Maybe getting some examples, maybe popping in and showing them, which is another reason why I think when you're starting out, actually using somebody local could be quite good, because you can actually pop in and show them what it is that you're trying to make. You can talk to them about the thickness of the paper and the card. And you can actually, I mean, I think it's really important that if you haven't made something like this before, that you actually get to feel different paper weights and different weights for the cover, so that you can, you know, feel whether that's exactly what you want. Sometimes that can be hard to see. Lots of online printing companies now will send you samples. So if you just do a bit of Googling, you'll probably get some paper samples, some card samples, so you can see what it feels and looks like. You can also use a print broker as well. So these are companies that you can go to who will go shop around for you basically and get you the best deals. I mean, that could cut out a lot of work for you. But this part of it is really not, for me, this isn't difficult at all. This is just basically about, you know, you want to get this work done, find three printers or five printers, whatever you want to do. See who offers the best price or the best service, whatever you're happy with. You can do the same with design. I think with design, often recommendations are good. So if you can find somebody who comes highly recommended, then great. If not, you could use sites like Upwork. You can use a site like 99 Designs, and they basically host competitions. So you can put out your brief, and then you get designers who, you know, what your brief might be to create a sample page for your diary or something like that. Then that's put out as a competition to designers. They all compete for your contract. It does cost you a little bit up front, but it can be quite a nice way to get somebody really good. And so that part of it, I think, is the easy part. The tough bits for me are really building that audience and testing out the idea, testing out that you've got an idea that people actually, you know, want to engage with. When it comes to testing out ideas, actually, an episode that you might really want to have a listen to is episode 184, so how to test out your business ideas. I definitely suggest that you have a listen to that one as well. And I just wanted to share one last tip. So if you've tested out your idea and you're happy to go ahead, I would suggest that you maybe start with shorter print runs. They can cost you a little bit more. It can be a little bit more expensive to only print 100 rather than 200 or something like that. But I think when you're first starting out and you're not sure how it's going to go, then it can be better to err on the side of caution. And one last thought I'd leave you with is, you don't have to go for world domination your first year. I think a lot of people go out with a diary or planner or journal and they kind of set quite unrealistic expectations that they're going to sell like 50,000 or something like that. Actually, I started off with those kind of sobering statistics about conversion rates in the industry, but actually I think it's much better if you can set yourself a target, maybe for your first year, can I sell 100 or two of these? Then you can always scale up. That's what we've done this year. Last year, my idea for the diary, I had it so last minute. It was a back of the envelope idea and we had to pull it together kind of really, really quickly. But what we've done is, you know, we set ourselves a target for last year, we met that target, and now we've increased that target for this year. Next year, we're looking, as I say, to go hardback, to get the diary on Amazon. But I think it's important that you set yourself realistic targets within the means and the resources that you've got. And don't be too hard on yourself. You know, to sell 50 copies of a diary or a planner or 100 copies, you know, that can actually be quite a lot of hard work, particularly if you don't already have a large audience. And one other last thing I'd say as well about the lead times. People have asked me about how long, you know, should you allow for planning and design. And it does depend on what it is that you're trying to create. But the reason that I'm launching this course on how to launch a planner or a diary in June is because I think you probably need to start in an ideal world. You need to start working on the content, I would say, in that quarter. So between June and September. And then you need to be start thinking about marketing and printing in the kind of September to December period. But as I say, I still wouldn't print anything unless you're sure people want to buy it. So I've shared a lot of tips in this episode, but I suspect you may still have some questions, and that's absolutely fine. So If you have any questions, then jump into my Facebook group. It's the Soulful PR Facebook community, or drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. It's likely that on the day that this episode goes live, I'll do a Facebook Live in my group, which is the Soulful PR Facebook community. I usually do them at midday unless I've got anything else booked in or around about those times. So do come and catch me on my Facebook Live. And if you check into the Facebook group in the morning, you'll see what time I'm going to be going live. And then we can go from there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.